We now turn to the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. We'll read Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, the verses 1 through 4, which is also the text for the service this morning. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So far, the scripture reading. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have just witnessed the baptism of Lewis Neal Rooney. And what a blessing to be reminded of God's covenant with believers and their children. The form for the baptism of infants indicates that in Old Testament times, the sign and seal of the covenant was circumcision. Baptism has replaced that. Circumcision and later baptism point to the Lord as the God of his people. I am the Lord, your God. And that's a declaration of his sovereignty. It's also a promise of grace. Belonging to our God makes us precious in his sight. He promises to be with us and to care for us. And this applies to the parents and the children among God's people. It forms the basis for the declaration, God is with us, rendered as Emmanuel in the New Testament. And that promise is fulfilled in and through Jesus Christ. And the promise, as we heard in the form for baptism, comes with an obligation. Do you want God's promise to be with us, to become a reality in your life? Then listen to him as a child listens to his or her father. Listen to him. Children need to learn this. And so do grown-ups. Listen to the Lord our God. And when they are baptized as infants, parents promise to instruct their children according to the word of God. Our text that we just read expresses the need for this, the need for instruction. Learning to live as a child of God doesn't happen by itself. Paul commands his readers in chapter 5 of the letter to the Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit. Only the Spirit can transform our lives, empowering us to live according to God's will. And being filled with the Spirit goes together with being open to the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And having urged his readers to be filled with the Spirit, the Apostle Paul describes what the fruit of that is in a Christian family. The family unit is a basic building block in the Christian church. It should therefore not surprise us that the Apostle devotes attention to it. In chapter 5, he focuses on the relationship between husbands and wives. And at the beginning of chapter 6, he addresses the relationship between children and their parents, especially their fathers. And so we come to the theme for this morning. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and how you interact with each other at home. And we'll focus on two points: how children should do this, and secondly, how fathers should do this. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord in how you interact with each other at home. How children should do this, and how fathers should do this. In Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul addresses children as part of the covenant community. And that's an argument for infant baptism as a sign and seal of the covenant. Boys and girls, you belong to God's people. The promises and demands of the covenant are for you. In verse 1, Paul gives a command: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Jesus Christ is your Savior. He is also your Lord. He has given you the parents you have. And they may not be perfect, but Paul reminds you that they have authority over you under our Lord. And honoring your father and your mother involves holding them in high esteem, showing them respect. And children, you do that by listening to your dad and mom and doing what they say. That's what the Lord Jesus wants you to do. So look beyond your parents to Him. Honor Him by responding positively to your parents. And obeying your parents in the Lord, as Paul describes it, also limits your obedience. If one of your parents ever asks you to do something wrong, never go against the will of the Lord. After all, we are called to obey Him above all. Are you still at home with your parents? How are you obeying them? When they ask you to do something, do you do that right away? Or do you first have to be reminded several times? And do you protest when your father or mother asks you to do the dishes, or fill the dishwasher, to put out the garbage, or mow the lawn? If you protest, that doesn't testify to much respect, does it? It clashes with the calling to obey your parents in the Lord. Don't obey your parents half-heartedly. Don't have a reluctant or a rebellious attitude. They shouldn't need to threaten to punish you to make you do certain chores. If that's how things go, you're not being obedient. You're only doing what they say to escape punishment. And then you not only have a problem with your parents, you have a problem with our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. After all, you aren't doing His will. And why honor the Lord by obeying your parents? Paul gives you the answer: for this is right. And the word right can also be translated as fitting. Obeying your parents fits a child of God. Doesn't God know best of all how we should live? He made us. He makes it possible for people to function together. He gives us His laws to govern how we interact with each other. When you break the fifth commandment by dishonoring your parents, it's not right. You're undermining their leadership. And such behavior isn't fitting for children. And what happens when something doesn't fit between people? There will be discomfort and pain. Eventually, the relationship can break. Fathers are the heads of their homes. They're called to lead their families. And next to them are the mothers. And together, they guide and instruct you. Honor your father and mother. The Lord impressed this Old Testament commandment upon his people by adding a promise to it. Paul reminds his readers of that promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Things tend to go well with children who honor their parents. They've learned to live in harmony at home, and this carries over into other relationships. There will usually be less stress in their lives. And what if a child is obedient and still dies at young age? What happened to that promise then about long life? Dying at a young age isn't necessarily a sign of divine judgment. God's blessings aren't restricted to this life. He promises eternal life to all who trust in him, whether they have a short or a long life on earth. Children who don't obey their parents deprive themselves of many blessings. It will not go well with them. If parents do nothing about disobedient children, tensions in the home will increase. The situation will become chaotic. Boys and girls, how do you feel when you rebel against your parents? It's hard to live with a bad conscience, isn't it? Now think of what it's like for your parents. They've taken care of you for years. And how it hurts when children respond to love with rebellion. If you have a rebellious attitude, it will lead to stress in many relationships and negatively affect the quality of your life. It may also very well shorten the length of your life. People who turn their backs on God will reap the consequences. They will lose sight of what is important in life. Instead of focusing on God, learning to love him and people around them, their lives will become filled with all kinds of sins. And how empty life can be when it's not oriented around God. The idols of this world take God's place. And what a challenge it is for us, beloved, to show the world another way of life. And this is only possible through Jesus Christ. Only his blood can wash away our sins. Only his spirit can renew our lives. And what a blessing this is when this happens. You notice it at home. When children honor the Lord Jesus Christ by obeying their parents, there's harmony. And this brings joy to children and their parents. Are any of you children not enjoying yourselves at home? Look at your attitude in the light of our text. Is it possible that you are causing bad feelings between yourself and your parents? What can you do to improve the situation? And if you have already left home, do you have bad memories about how things were? Don't be too quick to blame your parents. Of course, they have their shortcomings, but so do you. What did you do wrong? What could you have done differently? Is there a way to restore the relationship with your parents? Begin by showing them respect. Being polite is foundational for a healthy relationship with your parents. And there must be forgiveness as well. Rebuilding a relationship on a foundation of grudges doesn't work. Think of what the apostle wrote in Ephesians 5 verse 2. and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. He didn't love us and reach out to us because we are by nature so lovable. We aren't. None of us are. True harmony in a family can't be preserved or restored without Christ-like, forgiving, self-sacrificing love. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord in how you interact with each other at home. We paid attention to how children should do this. Let's now focus on how fathers should do this. This is our second point. The Apostle Paul isn't one-sided in his approach. He doesn't restrict himself to telling children, obey your parents. He realizes that we live in a world in which parents can also make mistakes. And so he singles out fathers for special attention. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. That means don't exasperate them. Children can sometimes become upset or angry with their parents without a reason. But sometimes parents can be unreasonable with their children. And this can cause unnecessary tension and lead to serious problems. Statistics show, for example, that especially when teenagers don't get along with their fathers, this can lead to depression. Lousy parenting doesn't cause all forms of depression, but it can be a factor. Paul addresses the fathers in particular because the father is the head of the family. He is to lead his wife and children well. And this includes being careful in dealing with children. And what can help you avoid upsetting your children needlessly? Keep in mind how old your child is. Children are not small adults. They have to learn many things. Think about how to teach them effectively. Parents can sometimes get very worked up about minor details in the lives of their children. And Paul certainly warns against making a big deal about something trivial. Keep your primary goal concerning your children in focus. Well, what is it? Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The children that the Lord gives you belong to Him, who is our Savior and King. And teach them to love Him and serve Him productively. Listen to what Moses said concerning how to teach children God's commands. He told parents, we read this in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 7, and these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Moses makes a few things very clear. First, doing God's will must have a place in your heart. How can you convincingly teach your children His commandments if you don't keep them? What you do is as important as what you say. It's also important to pay attention to how you express yourself. Are you loud and overbearing, or gentle and considerate in your dealings with your children? Keep in mind, God's laws are laws of love. Reflect that in having taught. Another thing that Moses makes clear is that it's not enough to just speak about God's commandments once or twice. Some things will stick in their memory. You will need to repeat other things for your children again and again. Help your children understand how to apply God's commandments in different situations. And this will require a lot of patient and loving attention. Don't forget, every child is unique. Take his or her individual strengths and weaknesses into account. Kids feel overwhelmed when you tell them to do things they can't handle. And the reaction to this can be anger. If you see such anger surface, fathers, be careful how you deal with it. If you become angry, you're not helping the situation at all. You are causing the problem and making it even worse. As a child grows, it needs to learn to deal with increasing responsibilities. And to accomplish this, parents should give children tasks according to their age and ability. However, it's possible to overdo this. Children may do what you ask them to. But don't frustrate them, don't exasperate them by making them focus too long on one thing. In their early years, it's crucial to learn more than just the value of hard work. There should be time for interaction with other children and for other activities. This is all part of the process of becoming an adult. A balanced approach is important. It takes a lot of energy to raise your children as you should. Reflect on what is most important. And let that govern what you decide to do or not do from day to day. Overfull agendas often lead to a rushed and busy life. Watch out that many activities don't crowd out what is essential. Parents, don't expect teachers to do what you failed to do at home. They might reinforce good instruction that you give at home, but there's no guarantee, certainly not if you choose to send them to a public school. And also, be realistic. Teachers face a classroom full of children, and they don't have much time to address the individual needs of each child. They can try, but there will be limits to what they can accomplish. You know your children far better than their teachers. Your task is primary. God will hold you responsible for what you do. Now let's reflect further on what Paul means by bringing children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The concept of training is interesting. Think of how a coach prepares athletes for a competition. He or she wants the athletes to be well-disciplined, and this involves teaching, reproof, correction, and training. And there's a parallel here with how parents can use Scripture to raise their children. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, you'll see that. That process of using Scripture for training, reproof, correction. The teaching, reproof, correction, and training. Good coaches teach athletes to function to the best of their abilities. If someone doesn't listen to instructions, there can be reproof. Perhaps the coach will blow the whistle to alert someone to an error. And this can come with consequences. Boys and girls, have you ever had to run extra laps or do push-ups because you didn't listen to your gym teacher or coach? Things like that happen. But that's not the main point of a training session. There should be correction. What went wrong? What's the right way to do things? And then there's training, making sure that the right behavior is repeated until it's an established habit. And so parents, especially fathers, are you training your child as you should to do this? Focus on your children. What should be your standard? The Apostle Paul gave solid advice. He not only speaks about training children, he also speaks of the admonition of the Lord. And that word introduces another idea. Parents should teach their children in a balanced manner. Next to positive instruction, children need warnings. They must learn to avoid pitfalls and improper conduct. And the book of Proverbs gives many examples of such warnings. Remember the key statement in Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools, and that means people who are not God-fearing, fools despise wisdom and instruction. If your child goes off track, explain why it's not okay and what such behavior can lead to. Sins can have very serious and sometimes deadly consequences. And parents, how are your children coming along? What do they know about the Lord? Do they know Him in the greatness of His love and care for them? Are they learning to love Him? Are you teaching them His commandments so that they know how to live? And this has a twofold goal. First, they need to learn to rely on God's grace. Your children will have weaknesses and sins. You will need to deal with their bad habits and sinful ways. But be careful how you go about this. The constant barrage of criticism will discourage them. Encourage them, even when you point out where they fall short. When you admonish them, encourage them to look to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Teach them to see the law of God in a positive light as something good to aim at. Urge them to pray for strength from the Holy Spirit in serving the Lord. Sometimes instruction needs to be reinforced with punishment. However, in our text, the Apostle Paul highlights the importance of the warnings themselves. Let the warnings of God's Word speak to the hearts of your children. Be gentle and loving, but also firm as you deal with sin in their lives. Remember to do this on behalf of the Lord. And do this also with a view to their connection to Him. Children should see that you're not just enforcing your own preferences. Teach them that the Word of God is your guide in your dealings with them. You are an instrument of the Lord. Be persistent and consistent in dealing with your children. Some so-called experts claim that lots of praise will boost the self-esteem of children. Be careful with that. Cheer your children on when they're doing their best to serve the Lord with the abilities He has given them. However, if you praise them when they don't deserve it, you may feed their pride, teaching them to be haughty. Constant praise can also lead to insecurity. If there's only praise and no criticism, a child will not have an accurate perception of his or her weaknesses. They will also not be well prepared to repent of their sins. They will not receive the necessary correction and training to know how to do what is right. Beloved, can be very humbling to hear the will of the Lord for our lives. If you have children, you face an ongoing challenge as outlined in our text. But what if you have no children? Does our text have nothing to say to you? As it does. Are you growing up, or are you already an adult? Here are some questions for you to think about. How have you responded to the discipline and instruction of your parents? You've seen flaws in how they've treated you. Have you also learned to know the Lord? Are you now serving Him according to His Word? And you also continue to honor your parents, even though you may have already left home and now live on your own? And here's another point to think about, especially if you're single. Are you praying for the parents and children in our midst? Is there any way you can help them fulfill their God-given tasks? Can you encourage the children to respond in a good way to the training that their parents are giving them? Our God is a covenant God who works from generation to generation. Praise and thank Him for that. And do what you can to further the work of the Lord. We are instruments He can use to achieve His purposes. Parents, you have a beautiful task. Work at fulfilling it as faithfully as you can. Focus on what's most important, to know the Lord and to serve Him in the light of His Word. And this will help you and your children deal with the many questions, difficulties, and challenges of life. Young and old, we all face the calling expressed by Moses in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Acknowledge Him in the greatness of His love. Live for Him with joyful hearts. Amen. Let's now pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you humbly acknowledging that we need the instruction of your word. We need desperately to know and to embrace your will for our lives. And help us by the power of your word and spirit to recognize where we fall short and how we should live in covenant fellowship with you. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy in your dealings with us. And help us, Father, to reflect that in how we interact with each other as congregation members. And for those of us who are parents and children, how we may reflect your grace and mercy in our dealings with each other, as fathers and mothers, as children. And how, living by grace, we may also display grace in forgiving love. Heavenly Father, for those of us who are no longer at home, also for those of us who are single, may we be mindful of how our parents raised us. What can we learn from that, even if they were unbelievers? For by your providence, you gave them to be our parents. And help us, Father, to honor our parents if they're still alive. To show in our interactions with them Christ-like love and patience, and to honor them in how we deal with them also as they get older and have to deal with increasing frailties of old age. For by, in your providence, it has pleased you to govern us when we're young through them. Heavenly Father, if they are not believers, we pray that you will give opportunities to show them how precious it is, how precious to belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, both in life and when facing death. And we pray, Father, if there are unbelieving parents, that they may be impacted by that. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will continue your work of grace in our lives and in the lives of the children, that future generations may be impacted, that our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren may know and show that they belong to you by grace alone. That they may learn to live by faith in Jesus Christ. May your covenant love be continued from generation to generation. Keep us in your care, we pray. Guide us in this new week which has begun. Enable us, whether we are young or old, to continue to grow in your grace, in wisdom and knowledge, to the glory of your name, and with a view to the salvation of people around us. Hear us, for Jesus' sake alone.